I wonder how you respond to hearing bad news. Maybe when you find out that someone you love is ill, or maybe even you find out you yourself are seriously ill. I know for me, I tend to question God. I ask, do you care? Where are you? And how is this fair? When we suffer, it's easy not to trust God, but to question his motives. Well, our passage this morning goes right into the heart of suffering. John gives us signposts in his gospel, which tell us about who Jesus is. And today we're going to see more about Jesus. We're going to see that Jesus is in control of suffering. We're going to see that Jesus grieves with us in suffering. And finally, we're going to see that Jesus has power over death, revealing God's glory. We will see that understanding more of who Jesus is will help us in times of suffering. So firstly, let's look then at verses 1 to 27. Jesus is in control of suffering. So Jesus is with his disciples in Jerusalem. And they hear that Lazarus is sick. Look down at verse 4 with me to see how Jesus responds to hearing bad news. He says, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." First of all, that he says that it will not end in death. And how can he possibly know this? He's either mad or he's in control. So does he rush off to see his friend Lazarus and to heal him? Well, verse 6, it says, "When he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. Jesus waited. And this seems quite shocking to us, doesn't it? Mary and Martha have dialed 999 and Jesus is in no rush whatsoever. In fact, it says he waited there 2 more days. Now, Jesus can't be being cruel here because we're told earlier in verse 5 that he loves them. So in some way, his action of staying where he was is going and allowing this suffering to take place is going to bring glory to God. So Jesus waited there 2 more days and as a result, Lazarus died. And Jesus gives his disciples another hint in verse 14b to 15 as to why he delayed. He says, "Lazarus is dead, and for your sake I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe." By not rushing to Lazarus' aid, he died. But Jesus says this was so that they would believe. Jesus wants to trust, he wants them to trust him that he is in control. Now Lazarus would have been dead for 4 days, and as Jesus approached Bethany, look to see how Martha responded to seeing Jesus. Verse 20, she ran to him and said, "Lord, if you had been there, my brother would not have died." She asks why, doesn't she? Why have you let this happen? She knew that if he had been there, then none of this would have happened. He could have healed her brother. And that's similar, isn't it, to how we react when suffering happens. We ask, why? Why have you let this happen? And it's a natural thing to ask God these questions in times of suffering. But look at what Jesus promises her, verse 25. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die." Jesus is saying that those who believe in him will have life. And that's an incredible promise, especially in the midst of suffering. And Jesus asks Martha if she believes this, and she responds in verse 27, "I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who has come into the world." Martha understood who Jesus was. She acknowledged that he's God's son, and she recognises him as the Christ or the Messiah, God's promised king. She doesn't understand why Jesus has let her brother die, but she does understand who Jesus is. Jesus wants them to believe in him because he is in control of suffering. So let's look next at verses 28 to 35, where we see Jesus grieves over suffering. Jesus grieves over suffering. Mary comes to Jesus, and in her grief, again, she asks the same question that Martha first asked. It's, where have you been? And she, like Martha, knows that Jesus could have saved her brother. And Jesus sees her weeping, and then he too weeps in verse 35. Jesus sees her mourning, and he too mourns with her. Jesus cares deeply about this family. He grieves with them for their loss. And the fact that Jesus grieves with them shows that he hates suffering. He hates death. And I think this is really important for us to remember when we suffer. Because Jesus is not out to get us. He is with us, and he's actually grieving with us when we suffer. So we can trust him because he cares deeply about us and about our suffering. Let's look finally at verses 38 to 44. So Jesus has power over death, revealing God's glory. Jesus has power over death, revealing God's glory. Jesus then did something surprising. He asked for the stone to be rolled away, and Martha goes to protest because his body has been in there for 4 days and it would have stunk. So she must have been wondering, what on earth is he doing here? And Jesus' response is interesting. Have a look at verse 40. Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? Now, Jesus can't be messing about here. You don't go to someone's funeral and say, believe me, it's going to be fine. Jesus promised them that if they believed, they would see the glory of God. Jesus then calls to Lazarus to come out. Verse 44. The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. You can just picture everyone standing there in shock as Jesus says, well, take off his bandages then. Jesus promised Mary and Martha that they would see the glory of God, and they did. They saw God's power at work through Jesus. He shows us his power over death. And it again proves that he's in control of the situation. So what? So how does knowing that Jesus is in control of suffering, that he grieves with us, and that he has power over death, how does this help us? Well, I think this story is here to show us that we can trust Jesus in our suffering. When suffering comes our way, it's easy to question him, and it's not so easy to trust him. But we can, because if Jesus is in control of suffering, it means we can trust him when we suffer. We can be sure that he is using our suffering to bring God glory, even if we don't always see the result of that now. And because we know that Jesus grieves with us, we can trust him that he is on our side during suffering. We know that Jesus hates suffering, and we know he hates it even more than we do. He grieves over suffering so much that he chose to suffer in our place. He suffered so that one day there would be no more suffering. And because Jesus has power over death, well, this means that we can trust him for our own death. And if we can trust him for our own death, then how much more can we trust him when we're suffering? This story of Lazarus ultimately points us to Jesus' death and resurrection. Jesus is the only one who has defeated death, the one thing which causes us so much hurt and pain and suffering now. Jesus has done something about it, because Jesus, verse 25, is the resurrection and the life. And knowing this about him can reassure us when we suffer. For us, with friends here who are suffering, we can encourage one another with these truths. And for those of us here who have friends who don't yet know Jesus and who are suffering, well, how much more do they need to know about Jesus? How much more do they need to know that Jesus is the resurrection and the life? He has proved to us that he's trustworthy in times of suffering, and that only answers to suffering and to life are found in him. Let's pray.